So this it wasn't something I even thought about consciously until I talked to our good friend and genuine playwright, Anthony Clarvo, this notion of constructing the narrative.
Oh, those danged real playwrights.
They will put thoughts in your head.
I know.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 364, Constructing the Narrative. We just finished the second week of the world premiere of The Complete History of Comedy Abridged here at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. And except for this frustrating cold that I have, it's going amazingly well. After reading the two rave reviews we received from the two main papers here, the Old School Daily, The Inquirer, and the Progressive Weekly City Beat, we realized that the narrative we took such pains to carefully construct wasn't mentioned at all, which we took as a fantastic compliment. Now, between shows last Saturday, Reed Martin and I sat down to talk about how we constructed the narrative for The Complete History of Comedy, Abridged, and how one of the first non-family members to help us was playwright Anthony Clarvo.
He had the nerve that when we invited him to the show and give us his thoughts, he did. Yeah. And darn him, they were very good.
They were awesome. They were awesome thoughts. And but so it stuck with me in the creation of this, because we've talked a little bit about how the Complete History of Comedy Abridged was developed in these last 6 to 8 months. But I remember for me, and it seems like we just opened in Cincinnati, and the reviews have been phenomenal, and the buzz response from the audience has been tremendously satisfying, wouldn't you say?
It feels like the hottest show we've ever had straight out of the gate, as far as I can tell, from reviews and audience response and Blake and Buzz bringing us here to Cincinnati. Everybody from all angles is just over the moon.
Yeah. Well, and yet I know that for myself, it took me a long time to figure out how this was going to work. And I feel like my early contributions to to the development, to the construction of this narrative were all negative.
We can't do it. You can't do a comedy about comedies.
I know. It was kind of, I was pretty much that guy. I don't see it. I can't figure out how we'd talk about it. I didn't know what, because I know I've said this in the podcast before. I felt like all of our shows are the history of comedy, no matter what the topic is. So when the topic is comedy, I went, feedback loop. I'm stuck.
I don't know why. I just had a feeling we could do it because we were so passionate about it. And as I've been thinking about it over the last month or so, the research for this show kind of reminded me of research I did for America and Bible, which was, there was the historical research, but there was also just a lot of, the subject matter felt open to me, like, okay, well, what kind of comedy things do I want to write? And then we can justify them. And right. I guess this gets back to constructing a narrative. Yeah. But I did a lot of things about, there's something that I've always wanted to do, Mr. Lists, but it'd be fun to do something with a strobe, or it'd be fun to do this kind of a scene or that kind of a scene.
Well, for me, there were two things about that. One of the reasons it was difficult for me was because we were so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. The biggest obstacle for me was that I have seen and heard of so many shows that have bungled this, have tried to do exactly what we're doing. Cirque du Soleil's show, what was it called? Banana Spiel, was an attempt to a kind of combine every aspect of comedy into one big vaudeville, and it failed. I know our second time at Edinburgh, Corky and the Juice Pigs.
Corky and the Juice Pigs.
I think did The Complete History of Comedy Abridged. I think that's what they called it.
Yeah, but they were really, other than the title, they were making no attempt to really.
Absolutely. And that was another example of, that was terrible. And
although they are all very talented
people. They're all very lovely people.
It was not their best show.
It was not their best show. And as you say, that wasn't what they set out to do, but we were actually setting out to do what we set out to do. The other thing for me is that, yes, you make tons of lists, and I knew we had no shortage of things to be, we had no shortage of funny things to write. I didn't know what we were going to write about.
Well, for a long time, we talked. You sort of got it around your head. Mm-hmm. You said, I see how we can do this. Instead of the history of comedy, it's kind of the comedy of history.
Yeah.
And so we wrote some sketches like that early on, mm-hmm. and there's bits and pieces of those that have stayed, but those were largely, you know,
one-liners.
Yeah, I mean, there's fragments of them still in the show.
Well, and as you said, you were talking about the passionate about it. The other trick was we know why it's important to us. Like this and the Hollywood show, I felt like those were topics. We always make fun of large, important topics. And for both this show and Hollywood, those felt like topics we had to justify their importance a little bit. They're not inherently important. And Hollywood, it came up pretty easy. Well, of course, Hollywood's important. It's America's largest export after weapons. But this one, we knew it's a running gag with us about why has there never been. Why are there never Oscars go to comedy performances or comic movies? And we tried to put that in three or four different shows, and a little bit of it remains in the Hollywood show. But it's just that's interesting and funny to us, but not interesting and funny to anybody else.
Yeah, people don't take comedy seriously.
Right.
And so the whole – I mean, what we finally came down to is, as it turns out, I mean, we won't necessarily give away the gimmick.
Right.
But it couldn't be more important, as it turns out, in this particular show.
No, we basically just found a way. The trick for me was to find a way to justify why this is so important to me. And in a certain way, comedy is my religion and the theater is my temple, and that's a glib response. But it's kind of true. Mm-hmm. But it also that was a good starting point, because when I figured out, oh wait, I can exaggerate that aspect of something that I truly feel. Mm-hmm. And turn it into something, and so it became actually quite religious. There's a very religious aspect, a kind of a born again aspect to what my character talks about.
Yeah, and so as it turns out, there's sort of this Blake Robeson mm-hmm. here at Cincinnati. We have this character Rambozo, who's kind of a central figure in the show. And what did he call him?
The Kaiser Soze.
The Kaiser Soze of comedy, as it turns out. When I was in the circus, there, that's from Usual Suspects, for those of you who don't know.
Yes.
Google it.
Well, and he's exactly right, because in my first draft of Rambozo, I said, Rambozo is the greatest trick the devil ever played, which is absolutely a line from Usual Suspects. Anyway,
when I was on the circus, we would joke about, you know, it's a six-show weekend, and, you know, okay, guys. Mm-hmm. Rambozo, get in, get the laugh, get out. And that had stuck with you.
Yeah.
And we had, I mean, Rambozo was in there in pretty early drafts, but we weren't really clear exactly what he was doing. And I remember my older son, Campbell, saying, well, you know, he can sort of be this mysterious figure who has everything to do with mm-hmm. comedy. You know, so evolved, and that's what happened.
Yeah, it was great because I figured Rambozo was a great character that you could play mm-hmm. and that would embody so many of the things we wanted to say about comedy. But if we say them, then they come off preachy or stupid or who the hell are these guys? Mm-hmm. But once we created the character of Rambozo and then invested him with this semi-mystical, quasi-religious and semi-mystical weight and power, suddenly everything that he pronounces comes off as funny. Right. You know, we found the way to voice it in a way that was funny.
Well, and then the trick is to only put in enough of that framing, as much of that framing device as you need.
Right.
So that the reviews don't even really much feel the need to mention it. And I take that as a compliment.
Yes.
It's about funny sketches, and we found a device that's unobtrusive and works as a reason to be doing what we're doing.
Yeah, in that sense, it's like the book of a musical. Books of musicals are really, really hard. But in a really good musical, you don't remember anything about the book. You don't respond to that. You only respond to the music and the dancing and the songs and the jokes because you found that one through line, that clothesline on which to hang the dirty laundry of the jokes. That's probably not the best metaphor.
Rambozo is the noose with which we hang the show. No, that's not it.
The noose on which, yes. It's the tree on which we lynch. No, hang on. No, hang, wait. It's always something. Hey, it's Bob Goen.
And I'm Marianne Caran from Bob and Marianne Radio.
At Warm 98, and you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Where can you RSC the RSC? Our UK tour of the complete works of William Shakespeare, abridged, revised, resumes next week at the Park Theatre in Finsbury Park, London, for an entire week. It's already about half sold out, so spread the word and get your tickets fast. Also next week, we'll begin four performances of The Ultimate Christmas Show, abridged, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, Galesburg, Illinois, and Reston, Virginia. And of course, until December 29th, we'll be performing The Complete History of Comedy, abridged, eight times a week at Cincinnati Playhouse in the Park. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe, and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. The other thing we figured out, and we're not the first ones to, you know, call attention to it, is the very close relationship between comedy and violence. The language of comedy and violence is similar. You know, you go out there to kill. You don't want to die on stage. You don't want to bomb on stage.
Right.
You know? There is the art of war. I mean, it's not a spoiler because it happens in the first couple minutes of the show. There is, everybody knows about, the art of war, the definitive work on military strategy and tactics written 2,000 years ago by Chinese General Sun Tzu. Well, we discovered the art of comedy.
And who's that written by, Austin?
That was written by Sun Tzu's younger brother, Achu.
When was that?
Achu lived in the Longdong province during the Wang Dynasty.
Of course he did.
Yes, because of course. And so the art of comedy was actually derived from the art of war. Hence, this explains the close relationship between violence and comedy. And also, it gave us that way of defining the limits of our topic. That's the other thing. And there, in the complete works of Shakespeare, there are only so many complete works. The Bible, there's two testaments, et cetera, et cetera. So this show needed a way to define what we were going to talk about in the 12 chapters of the art of comedy. We did that.
Not unlike the 12 steps. 13 chapters in the Art of Comedy is like the 12 steps,
yes.
The 12-step program from Completely Hollywood Abridged.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, so we write the sketches first, and sometimes we know what the framework is, and that comes more easily. I think in the book show we had a sense of that.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't. So in this one, we started with lots of sketches that we liked,
mm-hmm.
and then that's why it's retrofitting. Then, okay, well, what's the construct? Yeah. How do we justify it?
Yeah. Well, and I remember that this show felt like more of a problem in this show than in previous shows. There were points of view that we wanted to express, but I don't feel that way. But it's not important what we feel. It's important what the character feels. And so we need to figure out which character would feel strongly about it so that we could end up making the larger point that we wanted to make. Somebody had to take the responsible opposing viewpoint.
Yes, exactly right. And you were playing your opposite. You're the religious one in the show.
I know. That's the most ironic.
Yes, you've accepted Rambozo as your personal joker, and Dom starts out, at least, as an ahumorist.
That's right. He starts out as an ahumorist. That way, his character has a journey. I start off as a snob, which I am, which is also why I play in other shows. I don't care for double entendre, which is wildly untrue.
You don't like the fart jokes.
And I don't like the fart jokes. And again, that gives my character a journey. Your character doesn't have quite so much of a journey for a variety of reasons.
Kaiser Sose.
Yes, exactly right. I remember.
Well, there was some. I play Rambozo in the show.
Yeah,
and I also play myself or some variation of myself.
Yeah.
And for quite a while, we were going, well, is it me? And then I'm playing Rambozo at one point in the show, or am I just really mm-hmm. Rambozo? And sometimes at the end, you guys figure this out.
Yeah.
And in the end, it's sort of like the Clark Kent thing.
Yeah, I love it.
I start at the beginning of the show more or less as myself, and mm-hmm. then in the second act, I'm as Rambozo. And then right at the end, I come back on as myself. And, oh, you guys!
Reed, you missed him!
Yeah. Oh, darn it, again? Lois Lane! Jimmy Olsen!
Clark, you should have been here. Superman was just here, and you missed him.
But that's just so fun. It's
so
obvious.
It's so funny. Well, and the audience response has just been so fantastic. We keep hearing people saying, oh, I've never laughed so hard in my life. And I kind of go, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, no matter how hard they laugh or don't laugh during the show, out in the lobby afterwards, they're always like, oh, it was the funniest thing ever. Wow.
Right.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, no, yeah, it's great. And so many people are saying wonderful things about, oh, I needed to laugh, and we need to hear that. Mm-hmm. And I think what these people are saying is that we need to hear that idea that comedy's important. Comedy makes life better. Mm-hmm. Comedy, everybody should be a better comedian. You know, it feels like they are kind of taking away a little bit of the message that we want them to take away.
Yeah, make the world a better place by making people happy.
Yeah, fall down more. Tell better jokes.
Question authority. Bring the funny.
Mock the powerful.
Fart.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. So many folks have helped us out on this show, most importantly, Dominic Conti. But I should definitely give a shout out to Dustin Sullivan, who many of you will see performing the Ultimate Christmas Show at Bridge next month. It was Dustin who had the idea for the birth of comedy sequence we do at the beginning of the show, which gets us off to an appropriately silly start. Personally, I'm thrilled that the complete history of Comedy Bridged has become the show I wanted it to be after so many months of it only knowing what I wanted it to not be. If you don't live in the Cincinnati area, we hope to bring it to your town one of these days, so you'll get to see what we're talking about. Our booking agents at Opus 3 are beginning to book the fall of 2014 now. If you'd like us to come to your area, please contact your local theater and ask them to book us. It might work, but it sure won't hurt. Then send us your negative contributions via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans on our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks as always to webmaster Matt Rippey, gag man Matthew Croak, music by John Weber and Garage Band, and this week by Peter Bufano and his band Circestra. Peter has let us use some of his fantastic compositions in the complete history of Comedy Abridged. Find more of their music on iTunes and at circestra.com. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Ross Dixon. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Marianne Curran and Bob Goen from Warm 98. Here in Cincinnati. Marianne was the host of Landscapers Challenge back in the early 2000s when my wife D. Ryan and I redid our backyard for reality TV. It was great to work together again with Marianne for the first time. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 364, 1090 seconds of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.